The Lord be with you. This Sunday we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord and conclude our Easter service celebration of our Savior's resurrection and conquering sin and Satan and death on our behalf. Hopefully this is our last online service like this, and we can continue to return to worship together to celebrate the season of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and power upon God's people next week. So we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This joyful Eastertide, away with sin and sorrow, my love, the crucified, has sprung to life this morrow. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Even as we glory in the gift of eternal life, in that hope we spend our days in joyful repentance and faith, let us confess our sin, the sin that still so easily besets us, and receive the full forgiveness our Lord daily provides for us. Christ, who once was slain, now burst his three-day prison. Our faith had been in vain, but now has Christ arisen, 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 but now has Christ arisen. We are your baptized people, dear Lord. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us into our Easter joy. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father, now seated at his right hand. As you send the Holy Spirit to us through your word and sacraments, give us the strengthening of faith to endure all trials and live in the hope of eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading from Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Then the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So one theme that we can explore this Sunday as we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into glory is to explore and wonder about the power and the place or the gift that is bestowed with that of blessing. And so I'd like to look at the concept of blessing in the big or larger picture. And so to kind of grasp this, we can find the account of God creating the heavens and the earth, and the conclusion of each day is this sense of God blessing what he has done. And So a blessing is linked to God's creating, and with the blessing is an implicit promise of God's providing and sustaining. But all of this really then begins with God. We see another way in which blessing occurs, and certainly so far, the way that blessing flows is, you know, always from the greater to the lesser, or we should say usually, from the greater to the lesser. So looking to the way that Abraham and the patriarchs passed the blessing on to their children, it's the greater blessing the lesser, but essentially through that generation to generation conveyance of blessing is the reminder of the covenant that God made with Abraham, and thus simply passing from humanly passing from one generation to the next the blessing of the covenant that God had established with Abraham. And so with that, we recognize that the passing on of the blessing has this authority of God behind it. And the blessing is much more than a wish, but a promise of that is connected to the Word of God that has the sense of being worthy of trust and confidence, but in fact then establishing the life of the child who received the blessing. The blessing tells the story of his life as it is lived before God, and has a sense of, you know, kind of a preordained kind of way about it. Beyond this generational blessing is also the recognition that we bless. So let's look at a common time in which we say a blessing or say the blessing. And we would think of this then perhaps as we receive our meals. And so attached to this is the sense that we don't want to receive anything without gratitude or thanks or acknowledgement to God. And this particularly then is attached to the reception of food, and that is well enough, but it truly in principle applies to all of life, and the recognition that we really don't receive anything that doesn't belong to God and is thus a gift from God to us. And so the principle here was one of a life of gratitude and thankfulness in relationship with God, in acknowledging all his gifts. It's a kind of count your blessings and so on. All of this is geared towards simply acknowledging God. It does take us back to creation and God's making and then giving and God's blessing. In worship, there is the Aaronic blessing that concludes frequently the services. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and so on. And hear this blessing given by God to the priest to speak over the people and remind them at the conclusion of their time together in fellowship with God that this word of God rests upon them, and again, much more than a wish, but conveying the substance that as the people leave the formal presence of God, they take with them this promise of God's blessing over them. And here perhaps we could insert the sense that blessings are not without their contrasting curses in this blessing and curse kind of a paradigm is in fact a model for life in the one category or the other kind of way, and impossible to have the blessings without the curses. And all of this goes back to the nature and the way that a covenant is established, that obedience to the covenant receives the blessings that are promised, and disobedience to the covenant receives the judgment or the curses that are attached there, and they are indeed dire in the sense that life is shredded and torn from the individual. But the great principle is that we enjoy everything in the world and life as a blessing from a gift from God, and thus we give thanks or we bless these things. And so here we see how initially God the greater blesses creation and humanity the lesser, but in return, as humanity and creation receives the blessing of God, we find ourselves buoyed up in spirit and thinking, feeling, exuding then that I must also praise, give thanks, or bless God. And so we're invited into this relationship of blessing, God blessing, and our response to him in praise. And so, in fact, the same words are used for God blessing humanity and man's blessing God in response. And so now here I see us meeting our moment in history with this whole sense of, you know, how we used to shake hands and this being an expression of receptivity to other people, an expression of goodwill, of sincerity and honesty, kind of in the handshake, a sense of receptivity. And so initially the handshake was taken away, and then we went to, you know, the bumping of fists or the rubbing of elbows and what have you. But really, all this sense of kind of how do we greet one another? How do we acknowledge the presence of God with one another? But then recognize that in this cultural rite, there is something of the divine moment of blessing, being blessed, and sharing the blessing back and forth, and so blessing one another. And so then as we recognize the uncleanness within ourselves with the potential to be bearers of the virus, you know, however you describe that, the recognition then that to bless one another, we need the sense of being cleansed or healed or made whole so that, you know, we can be in fellowship with each other, bless and acknowledge and affirm in all of this way. And here is clearly then pointing to the divine moment. For as much as we struggle as a global humanity with all the intellect and resources that we have collectively, it seems, at least, you know, as much as there are different sides to this in you know, kind of polarizing ways, that the likelihood of the virus, or certainly another virus, will be inherently attached to our humanity. And thus, we turn, you know, from or beyond our human effort to overcome the virus to recognize that indeed we need God in this moment, and we turn to him, Jesus, as the one who in his ascension is at the right hand of the throne of God and indeed is above all authority and rule and powers in an earthly sense, but clearly rules over all of this in a divine and eternal sense. And to this point then, with his ascension, we clearly do look, you know, to and for his return, and not only in the sense of the second return of Christ, but also to his enabling or blessing mankind or humanity with the moment and the wisdom or the knowledge that is needed for the overcoming of all the brokenness of humanity. We turn to God and to Christ for this resource, because his resurrection from the dead is the evidence and the exuding of this power over all things, and he uniquely in all the accounts of creation has accomplished this truly on behalf of mankind. So while we are not communing yet, we looked then to this final sense of blessing in which Jesus takes the bread, breaks it, and blesses it, and then gives it to the participants, and he takes the wine, this cup of blessing, in the narrative of the Passover. This is the third cup, the cup of blessing or the cup of joy, but he conveys this blessing to over the wine and then to the disciples who receive it. And this recognition here that as God has become incarnate, he comes and he takes and takes over the Passover meal in a way to kind of retell the story, but also to allow the Passover meal to convey a blessing to us. And so we learn to look forward to this, to yearn for it, and not only the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, the forgiveness, the restoration, but this recognition that Jesus is the one who makes whole. Jesus is the one who cleanses. Jesus is the one who makes a community and wholeness, unity possible. And our joy, our life, our community is wrapped up in him and his lordship over us and all of creation. So we celebrate the ascension of our Lord with the disciples as they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and worshiped. And so we do celebrate the ascension of Jesus and then look forward to shortly to our return to worship and glorying in our God and his grace and mercy to us in Christ, God willing, Pentecost Sunday, May 31st. So God bless and keep you to that time, and we look forward to seeing you and serving together and joyfully praising our God at that time. God bless and keep you in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Ascended, Lord, hear the prayers of your people and grant our supplication. That the Lord may grant us all things in Christ, so we may be sustained in trial, strengthened in weakness, and delivered from trouble, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Church of Christ may flourish and the good news of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended would be proclaimed to all ends of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the nations of the earth may seek peace, and that the leaders of our country may pursue justice, righteousness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the pandemic may come to an end, and that livelihood and common life may resume, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That all who are afflicted may be strengthened in illness and comforted in adversity, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the faithful may not fret what we do not know, but rejoice in Christ our Savior, and live in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Lord may grant us joyful hearts and peace at the last, knowing that neither death nor life nor any powers can separate us from the love of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may be as generous in our tithes and offerings as the Lord is in giving us his gifts, and that we may support the poor and those in need, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may know the Lord's presence in the means of his grace, hearing his word, receiving his absolution, with faith and joy in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may remember the saints of old who contended for the Lord in their own day, and that we may join them at last in the marriage feast of the Lamb without end, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. All these things and whatever else we need, we ask you to grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, receive us into your kingdom and teach us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.